سلام 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 بسم الله الحمد لله السلام عليكم peace be unto you welcome to another episode of the Dean Show. We'd like to thank you for coming to the source to learn about Islam and Muslims. And today we're going to be talking about the verbatim word of God, which is the Quran. So sit tight, we're going to be right back with our special guest to cover this very important topic. We'll see you in a few. Welcome back to the Dean Show, and in the Dean Show studio today to cover this very important topic, my good friend and brother, Sheikh Muhammad Said Udley. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah.
It's good to have you with us again.
Thank you.
For those of you, most of the viewers, you're one of the original guests here on the Dean Show. You've been with us from the start. And most of the people know who you are, but for those people who don't know who you are, can you just kind of introduce yourself real quickly before we start on the topic?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. My name is Muhammad Said Adli. I'm originally from Cairo, Egypt. And I received my early Islamic education in Egypt. And after this, I moved to Saudi Arabia, which I joined one of the institutes there in the Masjid al-Haram, and I study Islam there. And alhamdulillah, I was fortunate enough to even teach in the Haram. Alhamdulillah. I have been here in the United States since 1975. I'm the Imam and the Director of the Islamic Center of Columbia. And I've been active in the Da'wah for the last 33 years. And alhamdulillah, I praise Allah for bless me with this. And I'm here again with my brother and my friend, Hamza. I'm sure you don't know, he didn't hear this name before, but with Mr. Eddie, so we can discuss something very important, which is?
The Quran, the verbatim Quran. Word of God. We want to know, I know and you know that this is the verbatim word of God. But for those people who now are seeking the truth, they want to know what's this Quran. Now, us just saying it's the verbatim word of God, you know, sometimes doesn't carry weight. Why? Can we start off with, give us a little bit basic knowledge of the Quran. Why do we consider this the verbatim word of God?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. I think we can give a definition about what is the Quran first, so the people can follow what we're talking about. Quran is Kalamullah, Al-Munazzal, the words of Allah, the actual words of Almighty Allah. That means we believe that Allah spoke the Quran. And Al-Munazzal, that means that been descend upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, main definition for the Quran, that Al-Mu'jiz, which is a miracle in itself. The way how is the wording, and the way how the information, everything. So we say mu'jiz, that mean a miracle in itself that no human being can compete with it. It's beyond the human being ability to put words like the Quran. Al-Muta'abbad bitala'wati, which one of the forms of worship is to say the Quran, to read the Quran, recite the Quran. So by doing this, this is an act of worship. And this Quran is the last revelation, not the last talk of Allah or the last words of Allah. It is the last revelation in a sense for guidance for mankind. There's no revelation, no book coming after it. So this is the definition of the Quran itself.
So now, Sheikh Udley, if you can please give us a little bit of the history on what the Quran actually is and how it was compiled.
Okay. As we said, what the Quran is, the Quran is the words of Allah for purpose of guidance for all mankind. All right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke the Quran. Allah says the Quran. Whatever term you want to use, how, only Allah knows how. We could not measure Allah with our measurements, okay? But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak whenever He wants, with whatever He wants. But the hadith had came and informed us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak, that the whole skies or the heavens shaken, and this caused the angels themselves to faint. And the first of all of them will get up and come back to his conscious is the angel Gabriel alayhi salam, and Allah will reveal to him. And the angel Gabriel, that means he heard it directly from Almighty Allah. He will come down with these words, and the angels, after this, they get up, they come back to their conscious, and they ask Jibril, ماذا قال ربنا, what our Lord has said. He said al-haq, He said the truth. And He will come down from the heavens all the way to the earth to the person whom Allah had chosen and selected, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is the normal way of revelation. Allah speaks the revelation, it carried and heard by the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel will take it directly to the person who been selected by Allah to be the messenger or the prophet, which in this case that we're talking about is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from Allah to Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now here, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability by hearing the Quran from Jibril, it will be almost like he can say printed in his heart. He will be able to say it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be hastened. When Jibril saying it, he tried to say it after him immediately, because he scared he may forget it. Because you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate, i.e. a person who could not read or write. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. O Muhammad, don't move your tongue when Jibril reciting it for you, to you. Don't move your tongue with it. Listen to it. Don't worry about it. Because it is upon us, i.e. Allah, to collect it and give you the ability to recite it. ثم إن علينا بيانه. And after this, it is upon us, which Allah, to explain it. So the Prophet Muhammad was like an agent, like the camera, nothing except to take my picture, take my voice. But the camera has nothing or ability to change or to add or to delete. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the agent, like Jibril was the agent, was a messenger. Like when you write a letter, you put it in the mailbox, and after this the mailman will take it and will take it to your aunt in Bosnia, in America, wherever, and the letter goes exactly the same. So Allah speaks the Quran, Jibril messenger will take it without any deletion, addition, anything, take it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will hear it, and Allah give him the ability to say it. Now what happened after this? Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately will call in one of the writers, Kuttab al-Wahy, with certain Sahaba companions who know how to read and write. The Prophet will call them, they will come and right away will record what the Prophet telling them. This is how is the Quran come down. Now don't forget, now this Quran, it didn't come like a book like this. It comes like chapters, surahs, verses, and sometimes a verse, sometimes a word. So it's so simple. Even if I don't know Arabic and I teach you, say Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
You see? Even if you don't know, you see? Because it's one word. It's easy to memorize it. Alright? But Allah already had granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't worry about it, because I'm giving it to you. I will make you able to say it, to memorize it, and to convey it. But we have to keep in mind, while we're talking about the Quran didn't come like a chapter or a book. No, it came a verse by verse, two verses, sometimes one word. So it's so simple for somebody to memorize a word, maybe after 5 hours, maybe after a day, 2 days, another verse come. It took almost 23 years for the Quran to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was so simple and easy to be memorized. But don't forget also that this Quran, we say it in our prayer. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leads the prayer, he's reciting what he had revealed, what been revealed to him, what he had received from Almighty Allah. So the Sahaba also will hear him. So they will memorize it. In addition to this, they will write it. So this is the way how the Quran came down.
So we have one form was the memorization.
Memorization by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is number one. Okay? Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will call in some of the companions to record it immediately.
Now how would they back then, because obviously they didn't have notepads, pens, and how would they go about compiling things? What would they write on? What would
they write in anything available can be written in it. They used rocks, they used bones, they used skin, they used different things. They have a means of writing and recording things even before them. You know this ancient civilization and all, how did we get to all this? It always been a means of communication, recording, writing, but it's not so sophisticated and so like what we have in our modern technology. But they have their own basic means to record what they want to record. As for the Quran, it been recorded, like I said, pieces of wood, trees, bones, after they kill the camel and eat it, and big, the big shoulder, they write. So they do whatever available there, they use it. So as example, for to have the whole Quran, you will have a whole house like this, full with pieces of rocks and stones and bones. It's not like what we have now, a book like this. But it been combined according to the means that was available for them.
Let's hold off on that. We got to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll cover the rest of this topic. We'll be right back on the Deen Show.
So let me ask you, let's talk about God. Let me ask you, God.
God is one.
One. That's what I'm looking for.
God is one.
All right, here's what we do. I'll say this, and you say after me if you believe it. If you don't, then don't say it. I swear. There is no God worthy to be worshipped.
There is no God worthy to be worshipped.
Except one true God.
Except one true God.
Allah. Okay. And I swear.
Muhammad.
Is his messenger. Okay, now we can do it in Arabic. Ashadu.
An.
La ilaha.
Illa.
Allah.
La sharika Allah.
Wa.
Ashadu.
Anna Muhammad.
Rasulullah.
That's it. Guess what you just did? You entered Islam. Congratulations.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. There's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah. There's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Moses was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I'm just really happy, and I'm glad to be in the truth, and I'm really happy.
Me too. There's something we need to tell you. When you entered into Islam right here, Allah, he forgave all of your sins since the day you were born. So you don't have any sins now. It's all gone. You got a new start. And you got good deeds. You get to keep all your good deeds. And no bad deeds. So that's a bonus. And if you ask him for anything now, it's direct. And you will receive immediate results from Allah. And another thing is that he's going to start testing you now. Big time. He promises you, but it will make it easy for you. He's going to test you, and then you'll see ease, you'll be tested, and this is a promise from Allah. Because coming to Islam is not to get the easy way, but it's to get the fair way and the balanced way. And you'll learn step by step. And you start learning how to do Salah, called the prayers, you know. And then after that, we'll be going into Ramadan in September, you're fasting the month of Ramadan. And then after that, you'll learn about Zakah, giving the charity. You don't have to worry about that for a whole year. And then after that, there'll be Hajj. And then if you can go to Mecca once in your lifetime, Allah make a way, then that completes your Islam. As easy as that. And there is some study to do. It's good to start learning the Arabic language. It's good to sit with the study circles, and it's good to spend some time with the brothers. But one thing you want to be careful of, very careful, is the devil is not going to give up on you. He's going to give up on the fact that he knows you're not going to worship idols and statues and stuff, any of that. But he's still going to try to work on you to try to at least get you away from the Muslims. So one of the hardest tests that we in the West have in Islam is to keep from separating up into all these silly groups. Don't do that. Respect each other. If somebody's in a group, that's his choice, but don't get into this. Stay away from that. Just love all your brothers and appreciate the good from each one or each group, and let it go with that. It makes sense?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Do you have any question you want to ask? We're real happy to have you as our brother in Islam. And take everything slow, step by step, one by one. And inshallah, God willing, you'll find that it's a wonderful way of life. It's called the deen, or way of life. And this is, by the way, the Deen Show that you're watching. So watch us here on Deen Show for a lot more programs like this. And we hope we see a lot more folks like Stephen understand this message in coming to Islam. Till next time, this is Yusuf Estes here in Chicago saying, hey, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome back to the Deen Show. In the Deen Show studio, Sheikh Muhammad Adli. Thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure to be here.
We're covering the Quran, the verbatim word of God, how it was compiled. Please continue on. Tell us, how do we have the Quran today as a book? How is it from when you talked about being revealed over a span of 23 years? How did it come to what we have today as a book?
Okay, the main thing that we establish now is that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a means of recording the information. Plus, those people have the ability to memorize. In addition to this, we're talking about 23 years, so anybody who wants to memorize verse by verse, you have enough time. In addition to this, they recite this every day in their prayer. So, we understand that the Quran was available there in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't die until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the Quran, perfected his words, and been also known by many Sahaba. Was more than one person who can read and write. So was not a people of Jahiliyyah totally, that people, there used to be people there who read and write and record and they know these things. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, the Quran never was in a book like we have today. We never been in a CD or a DVD or whatever like what we have. Same thing like anything you talk about, a gun, a fork, a spoon. People used to eat before. They have pots to cook in it. But there is a difference between a pot been 200 years ago, and now you have a cooking pot by electricity, you have a microwave, but they still have means to cook their food. The same way they have means to record the information. So they did not have the luxury of having a one book or a CD like we have it nowadays. It took a different means and ways and a progress and to bring the Quran to what we have today. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, the Quran was there in two forms. One, memorized by hearts and mind of many Sahaba. This one thing. Okay? Secondly, that the Quran also was in existence in piece of bones, rocks, skin, in writing, but was not one book. After the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now the first Khalifa, which Abu Bakr Siddiq became the head of the Islamic State, which is after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is a battle called Ridda, and a lot of those scholars who memorized the Quran, they've been killed. So his assistant, the second man, which Umar ibn al-Khattab, he came to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, telling him that it's very necessary that we make sure, because a lot of people who memorize the Quran, they die in the battlefield. So those people, they did not sit in the mosque and the house teaching people only Quran. Those are the first people they go when there is anything to be done in the community, in the mosque, in the battlefield, they are the first people. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a lot of them been killed in this battle. So Umar went and suggested this to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq with hesitation and discussion and consultation, but finally they had agreed they have to go and get this Quran together and make sure that they have a original copy from this Quran. They've been collected, it's been put in a big room, okay, and been trusted by the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is Hafsa, and was not still in a one form of a book. After the death of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the same thing came again to be trusted with Umar, until the third Khalifa came, which is Uthman, and this when that we have the Quran to be transferred. So in time of Rasulullah was no one book, was a collection. Okay? In time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, as a collection happened, but was not as a book yet.
It still wasn't a complete
was
book.
Not a book. Was no way to make a book in that days like this. But they have things which are collected in a big room.
They had everything, but it wasn't...
They have everything, and one of the Sahaba that been in charge and another person in the center collected, and they go to check. Two people have to be witnesses. They heard this, and that people will recite it and look for the bones, look for the skins, collect all this information. Now, in the time of Umar, now we have a one book, Quran. But what's happening in this collection was the different dialects, okay, according to the tribes. Now, in the time of Uthman, he took all this Quran, which was different dialects, and he got it in one Quran with one dialect of Quraysh. And he made seven or four copies and sent one to each different state of the Islamic State in that time. So this is the first time to be unified in the writing, in the pronunciation, in the collection, we can say Mus'haf Uthman, that the third Khalifa. This is the time that you actually have a book that can be in a different places, and you have seven copies been sent, and some they said four been sent in different state of the Islamic State in that time. So this is the time now you have a Quran in a book form.
So is that book that was finally compiled in one, is that the same one that we are reciting today, every day?
Of course, of course, with no doubt. Now, something else had happened after this. We all this time we have compilation of the Quran in a form of writing. Now about approximately 50-60 years ago was the first time they get Quran in a sound collection. So now you have the memorization by the hearts, many students and many scholars. You have the collection of the Quran in a form of writing. And the third came also, or you can call it the fourth, the collection by sound. And was the main person recited, and I think is the first person, he's from Egypt, called Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husri. This is the first time Quran to be collected in one unified sound and to be recorded in record. Now we can see how the Quran nowadays, understanding every day they have a different print and different styles and all these things, but still any Quran printed by Muslims or non-Muslims, Arab or non-Arab, you could not open one chapter and you found it different from the other chapter. That means open chapter 9 in the Quran, verse number 6. What is the second word? It has to match in all the Qurans. And this is something unique, is not exist in any book except the Quran.
So we definitely, without a doubt, we have the same Quran, the verbatim word of God, as was revealed 1400 years ago, we have the same one today, without a doubt.
With no question. And one thing you have to understand, like I said in the definition of the Quran, mu'jiz. That means you could not debate it. You could not challenge it. It's a miracle. And one of the miracles of the Quran, Allah is saying in the Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we, i.e. Allah, we reveal the Quran and is upon Allah to protect it. So Allah promised the Quran to be protected. There is no agent or a country or society that they're making sure that the Quran is the same Quran. But you could not help it. If it's printed by Muslims or non-Muslims, bring any Quran been printed any place and open specific chapter, specific surah, and see what is written there, is going to match the same thing. And by the way, when we're talking about Quran, we're talking the Quran that written and read and said in Arabic, not Yusuf Ali translation and Muhsin Khan Noble Quran and Muhammad Batto. This is translation of the meaning of the Quran.
That's not the Quran.
Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiya. Quran is in the Arabic language, not in any other language. Because maybe Yusuf Ali will say what? After this he left from the gate. The other one say he left from the door. The third translation said he exit out. So you see the difference? But in the Quran he said Udkhulu al-baba sujada, bab. All of them going to be say door, door, door. So with no way doubt of one inch doubt, you can found two different Quran in Arabic any place. No way. And Allah took upon himself to protect the Quran. And alhamdulillah, we still have the Quran until today. The same Quran.
This is indeed a miracle. And if one sits and really ponders over it, he gets to really appreciate it.
And guess what? Millions of millions Muslims, not adults, even children, 10 and 12 years old, they memorize the whole Quran. And is nobody, nobody for your knowledge, in any belief, in any religion, can tell you, I memorize my book, the Bible, or the Old Testament, or the Injil, whatever. No way, by no way.
Nobody.
The only book that memorized by millions of Muslims, adults and children, is the Quran. And if anybody make a mistake, hundreds of people right away will correct him. Not mistake in a word, even in a vowel.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. This itself is a miracle. But basically, really, if when you go talk about the Quran, how the Quran, you understand the scientific facts that in the Quran, the medicine in the Quran, the behavior, the economic in the Quran, the politics in the Quran, you'd be amazed.
You can basically run a whole country, the whole world on this book.
This is the purpose the Quran came.
Yes.
The Quran is not only a book that you recite and take a blessing. It's to bring the people to get the blessing of this life and the goodness of this life before even the hereafter. And this is the reason we could not have peace in any place nowadays.
Tell us, because we got to cut out soon, a couple more questions. I want to hit a few points. Tell us, what is the main message of this Quran?
The main message of the Quran is the Tawheed.
And that is?
That means worship Allah alone. Don't associate any partner beside him.
Worship Almighty God alone.
Alone. Don't associate an angel, a prophet, a messenger, nothing. He is one, alone, and he's the only one deserve your total submission and your total obedience. This is the main message of Al-Islam.
Tell us some other details that it covers, some of the good things that
it covers. Everything, how you can get the best of everything. Your relationship between you and your wife, your relationship you and your parents, how to deal with the people in business, how to deal in economics, how to deal in politics, everything, how to run a whole society, family, organization, okay, in the best manner, that in a manner everybody will be fair and everybody will be comfortable, and this is the only way you can have peace. Otherwise, no peace.
Now, if you live according to this book that is from the creator of the heavens and the earth, what is guaranteed for you
if you Jannah.
Jannah, what's that?
Paradise.
Paradise?
Paradise, heaven, whatever you want to call it.
That sounds good for me.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah make us among the people who stay on the Quran, inshallah.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you for helping
Alhamdulillah,
us cover
my
this
pleasure
topic.
To be here always.
Inshallah, we're going to have you back again to cover some
Inshallah.
More. Thank
Inshallah.
You.
Thank you.
JazakAllah khairan. And I'd like to thank everybody who's tuned on to the Dean Show. You can go in the Dean Show library. We actually have a good article called The Authenticity of the Quran. You can check it out. You can start there and then email us if you have any other questions. Otherwise, we'll see you again next time on the Dean Show, inshallah. Until then, take care. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.